So join me in some prayer. Father, we just thank you this morning for bringing us together. Lord, as we enter into the holiday seasons with Thanksgiving just this week and Christmas not too far down the road, Lord, we just want to bring you the praise, giving you the thanks for all your blessings that you've given to us. So Lord, as we gather this morning, we just want to lift our hearts to you in praise and song and fellowship and worship, whatever it might be, and that you would just be speaking to us. So Lord, just pray for those in our body that maybe you're still on their way here or can't make it this morning for whatever reason. We just ask your blessing to be with them also. We just lift all this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Okay, this is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. The word of the Lord.
One more time. Hello? Yeah, all right. I just make sure we're here. Hey, turn your song books 422. That's those green books in front that we don't pick up much. But there's still a lot of good stuff there. 422. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. Oh, well, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. No, well, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Amen, church. Amen. I'm going to, Pat, thank you. Because, you know, you always ask me to sing. You want to hear me sing. Mark, thank you, because you always want to sing. And I guess what I want to say is, because it's fitting kind of where we're going to talk about this morning, about the Holy Spirit and living that Spirit-filled life. Do you guys have things that make you feel alive in the Lord? You know? And, you know, it just, maybe you hadn't put a finger on it yet. Maybe it's visiting. Maybe it's taking those turkeys around. Maybe it's praying for people. Maybe it's, guys, that's the gift of the Spirit that God has placed in your heart. And those things we need to do. Because there's a burning there, even though it makes us feel nervous, maybe. It may, you know, because there's two forces within us. You know, the enemy, he don't want those things to come out, right? So what's your natural reaction to maybe getting up front and singing, or maybe getting up front and speaking, maybe going and praying for somebody, even though it makes you feel great? Your natural reaction is maybe, you know, you kind of hold it inside. Maybe you don't want to open that box too quick, right? There's too much joy going to come out. But it's important for us to do those things because it makes us feel alive. And that's what the Spirit trying to breathe through us, right? So I just encourage you to do that. And Pat, you know, I've been kind of back and I've just been preaching because I need to do the sermon and maybe we don't have time to sing. You know, no. You know, that's kind of gets the butterflies out of my stomach. You know, it's like when I used to play football, I would love that first hit. I'd be all stirred up and then wham, right at that first. All right, we're ready to roll now. Well, that's kind of what the song does for me in my preaching. Maybe preaching's a set. I don't know. I've been doing it a lot of years, but I need to keep singing because that's what really makes me feel alive personally. And I sing more throughout the day, humming songs, whatever, you know. And I just encourage you, whatever that is for you, find it, do it. Let the Spirit breathe through you because that's touching somebody somewhere. Guaranteed, because the Spirit doesn't go out void, right? It's not in vain. Okay, so let's get on there preaching. I'll tell you what, though, we're going to have a closing song here. Number 295. Y'all mark your song books. We'll go there later. We're in Galatians. And I'm going to ask anybody this morning, all of you, how many of us are, you know, feel like you just kind of struggle following the Spirit? It's kind of foreign, really, when we just say that word. What are we talking about, right? You know? I mean, that's, you know, I try to always think back, you know, what is it like to be a new Christian? You know, I grew up in the church and, you know, I want to make sure that what I say is relevant, right? I don't want to waste your time, you know? And I don't want nobody wasting my time. I mean, what does that mean? And I hope we get to that a little bit. And, you know, as we study Galatians, we're going to be getting to that more and more throughout this book. Paul, Galatians is just a, man, he goes on attack, you know, because I'll tell you what, usually most of his letters start out grace and peace to the Lord Jesus and thinking, and then, no, he, boom, got right to the point. We got a problem, okay? And we need to get it straightened out right now, okay? And it was this whole problem of the following the Mosaic law, getting mixed in with the gospel, and Paul said, no, it's not a mix, okay? It's about the grace of the Lord Jesus that came through his death on the cross, and that's it. And let's leave it there, you know. And now let's learn to walk in the Spirit as God intended long ago before we even got involved, right? He said he had, that was his plan long ago, that Jesus would come. And it came in the right time, you know. But because, you know, hey, you can understand where they're at, you know. This is the way they've been living. And, you know, okay, people have veered them off course here a little bit here and there a lot. But, you know, so you can understand where their ties are. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to relate back then because we live so far down the timeline, right? But we're all human and we need to look that, you know, we get caught in the same thing. There's something gravitating about rolling up sleeves and I can do this, right? You know, and I think this is just my personal opinion. I think those of us who grew up in the church probably struggle with this a little bit more than maybe somebody who just came and found the grace of the Lord and now it's a new walk because everything's new, right? You know, with us in the church, you know, for me, I know there's always this struggle of a works-based religion, if you want to coin it a term. I just encourage you, if you struggle with your walk in the Spirit, you're not alone, okay? And if you are given that Spirit, when you say yes to Jesus Christ, that you believe that he died for you, and that he went on that cross and took care of your sin problem and made you righteous before the Lord, as the Bible states many, 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 many times and very clearly, that you are given what? The promise of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, Jesus says, would lead us into all truth and make the very mysteries of God be known to us because he loves us and wants what's good for us, right? He wants us to be his children, okay? And he is the reason we can say, Abba, Father, and go right into the throne room, as Hebrews says, with confidence and lay our concerns before the Lord. Barely, right? Just bare, plain. Sometimes we don't even know what to say. And the Bible says that the Spirit speaks for us and intercedes for us, right? You know, that's what the Spirit is. That's why it's given to us. And so that we can carry out this wonderful love relationship of us and the Lord. That's why the gospel's still here. That's why we're still speaking of it. Right? And as Sharon said, you know, she was happy that she can look around and see some young people here to carry. And that's all we're here to do is keep carrying it on. Pass the baton. Carry the gospel on. Why? Because it glorifies our Father, just as Jesus did. Right? Okay, I'm going to quit rambling here. So when Paul, let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 is where we're at. Let's just read that. We're going to go through 5 verses today. Just a small bite. Okay? Galatians chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. Because it is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. Amen. So Paul has a concern here with the church. He's talking to the believers. And he's trying to address this of them trying to make the law a part of the gospel. Okay? And the gospel is the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? The good news, right? He had wondered, he says, who has fooled you? So there's that. You know, obviously they brought a message to them that was very clear. And somewhere along the line, some things have gotten confused, right? And he's being very clear of addressing that, right? Was not Christ clearly portrayed to them in 3:1? Had not they received the Holy Spirit by hearing and having faith? Rather than by the works of the law, right? They did, you know. He said right there, you've started this journey in the Spirit, right? Had not one who supplied the Spirit done so through the faith, through the hearing of the faith? God, sure, the Spirit's there, right? Could we face similar dangers today? And I guess I'm asking the same question because I think it's the same. It can be the same thing today. Can we be fooled by false representations of the gospel? Maybe it's not in the same, you know, the law or works-based religion, anything other than the gospel. Can we be fooled? We sure can. And not even know it sometimes. Shouldn't we be led by the Holy Spirit, just as Paul is talking? Can we get off track? Yeah. So we do live in a time that we can relate. There is a clear and present danger amongst us. And that danger, the enemy is always trying to twist things just a little bit. If he can just get us off track just a little bit, that's enough. He doesn't create nothing. He just twists it a little bit. Just enough. You know, Jesus warned about the false prophets. The disciples talked about the false prophets. In Matthew and in John. He warned us of being cheated through philosophy and principles of this world. Turn to Colossians 2:8. Colossians 2:8. It says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world. We need to be careful. It's there. Peter warned about false teachers and their destructive heresies by covetousness and exploiting with deceptive words. Let's turn to 2 Peter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who brought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality, and because of these teachings, the way of the truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies and get a hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. They're going to get what there's coming to them for messing with the truth and distorting, you know, that. Man, why do you know, like we were just talking about this a little bit in a Bible study on Friday morning. Jesus said that if we lead the young ones astray, it's better for us to tie a big old millstone around our neck and be thrown into the river and drown. You know, that's how serious it is, right? So such warnings are clearly found in the Bible to warn us as well of being fooled and pulled off track. And they're clearly present right here and right now. We are maybe weighed down by just traditions and rules and regulations. That's a little similar to what they were going through with the law of Moses and other things that they've added to that that wasn't a part of that. They were being weighed down by all this that they had to do and couldn't get there. Sometimes we can weigh down our own self, right? We got to do this to be right. We got to do this to be right. Or, you know, we can get into that game real easy. Well, if we make it through, we might feel a little bit good about it, but it don't matter. Our works doesn't get us there, right? Only Jesus Christ alone. We can be assaulted by philosophies of men. You know, some kind of science stuff and things like that. You know, all this, I don't know. But we don't need to listen to that stuff, right? Okay? That's what I'm getting at. It's there. It's in front of us. Now, what about false teachers that appeal to our greed? You know, the whole, oh, come to the Lord and everything's going to be fine. And, you know, you're just going to have all blessings and no troubles. And that's not true. That's not what he said. And you know, if we want to get into the spiritual battle of it, I think you're going to be persecuted more. But God will pull you through. No matter what persecution comes that way, right? So these things are all around us. Immoral worldly trends. I mean, we turn on the news. I don't like it. I mean, it's just a bunch of doom and gloom and all the stuff's going on. It's just right there in front of us all the time. And if we look too hard to it, our lives are affected by it. I ain't saying don't watch the news. I ain't saying don't. You got to be aware. You got to have awareness. And you got to have spiritual awareness. Okay? You got to see what's going on. But you don't have to let it control your life. And you don't have to let it affect how you treat others. The world has clearly been fooled. 1 John 2:15. Turn there, please. 1 John 2:15. Says here, do not love the world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world, this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Amen. See? Amen. You bet. We see all this, right? It's there. I'm just saying, don't let it pull you off track. Okay? Be aware of it. You know, don't let the world and politics and global warming and all this climate control and you could go on and on, right? Don't let that rule your life. We're called to a higher calling. We're called to follow the Spirit as He leads us in the truth. And yes, He'll get us through whatever circumstance we got to go through because of all this junk going on. This world is going to pass away. We are living in end times. I don't know. We don't know the day, the hour, or what, when that's going to come. It's going to come like a thief in the night, right? Jesus says, we don't know. But we're going to be okay because we have a promised home in heaven. Why? Because we're guaranteed by what? The seal that he gave us. What's that seal that the Bible tells us? The blood of Jesus. That's how we get it. The Holy Spirit, right? He says the Holy Spirit is a guarantee. Okay? Hold on to that. That's your guarantee that you're going to have a home in heaven. And let that guide our hearts. So I guess we get to the solution, and I kind of jumped ahead, but that is the solution. Let the Holy Spirit guide us. How not to be fooled? How do we not let all those influences come in and affect us and stay true to the path of the gospel? Well, we need to remember. We just need a bunch of reminders. We need to remember that it was clearly portrayed to us in the Bible. We can go and read this Bible. And you know what? Does everybody have a Bible? Everybody in this room have a Bible. You don't have one? We'll get you one. Yeah, all right? Well, you know what Bible stands for, don't you? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Right? I picked that up somewhere. I don't remember where, but that's true. You know? That's doctrine. All right? And John 8:32, you should know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Free. All right. If you don't have a Bible, let's get you a Bible. Because you need to read it. All right? I ain't saying you got to understand everything in it. All right? And how it's portrayed. And, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Stay there. Learn the Gospels of Jesus. Learn his life. He'll tell you what he did for you. You read about what he did for you. You'll be reminded of the gospel, the importance that he died for you, that you can be set free and go home to heaven forever. Okay? And you've received the Holy Spirit. Even when you don't know how to walk this new walk, it'll show you little by little. And you'll mess up many times doing it, and that's okay because you're forgiven. You just confess, get up, repent, and try again, and try again. And the Holy Spirit changes you every little step along the way. And that's about as simple as I can put it. Because there is no other gospel that can save us. Romans 1:16. Paul says, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ, that is the gospel. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. That faith, that belief in Christ, that makes a difference in your life. That faith. There is no other gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What? No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. So we need to be reminded. You know, we do reminders. What about the Lord's Supper? We take that Lord's Supper, but that's a reminder of what Jesus did for us. You know, that's why in Genesis, wasn't it Genesis? He said, but back there they said, time, the symbols on your fingers and all this so you remember. But we just need to remember. We need to remind ourselves daily of the gospel and what it is for us. Okay? So that we don't let these other influences creep in. What you think about is what you become. What you focus on is what you become. Right? Focus on what we should focus on. We need to remember how we receive the Holy Spirit. Mark just said about the blood of Christ. He says, I got to leave so that I can send the helpmate. That's in the last part of John. Jesus, last few words, last few chapters, 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there. He said that to his disciples. And he made a clear point that you don't understand now, but I got to go so that I can get the Holy Spirit to you. And he did. And so that he also said that my Father and me can make a home in you. And that's the Spirit that dwells in the heart. That's the gift we receive freely. We don't deserve it. Freely. When we say yes to Jesus. This is how we're supposed to grow in the Lord, is that walk in the Spirit. It's so important for us to keep on keeping on and trying and trying. So we need to remember the gospel. Remember how we received the Holy Spirit. We need to remember who supplied the Holy Spirit that comes from God as a gift. His grace and mercy that He wants to be our child. And we receive that Spirit and we are called children of God, it says in the Bible. And then in conclusion, I want to just wrap up here. It's also, we have a responsibility. We say yes to Christ. I always look over here because it used to be a cross right there. I guess it's behind us. We always look at, we got to remember we have a responsibility. We remember the gospel. We know that we received the Holy Spirit as a gift of our inheritance to heaven. And that Spirit guides us. But we have a responsibility. You know, it doesn't just, and this is kind of, I'm leading right into my struggle. This is where I kind of, it don't just boom, it happens. All right? Now the changing of a heart happens, but we have to do something. It's not just, we receive the Spirit and it just, everything's rosy from there. It's not. You know why? Because we didn't come with a perfect heart. We came with a lot of junk in our life. Some of us more than others. But we're all born in a sinful world. And therefore we have a sinful nature. We have a flesh that battles for our soul too. That's driven by the enemy. The devil. And that's just the way it's been ever since. The beginning. But that Spirit is constantly trying to lead us forward. So we have to do something for that change to happen in our life. So I want to turn to Colossians 2. Let's turn back to Colossians 2. Let me read just a little bit of chapter 2. Then I'm going to jump over to chapter 3. Okay. And now just as you accepted. And starting in verse 6. And now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You must continue to follow Him. So we've got to follow. Follow. Let your roots. Let, I want you to hang on to that word, let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. All right, now let's jump over to 3. Jump over to chapter 3. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor of God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. So put to death your sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with the sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for the greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time when you get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature. You stripped it off and all its wicked deeds, and you put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. It's something we have to do. We have to let. We got to let our lives move towards God. We have to set ourselves in the right place. We have to focus on the right things. Think of earthly things. Things of God. Not of these earthly things. Taking off the old clothes and putting on a new. Right? It gives us that. You know. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I see that. There's something we got to do. But now. I want to just leave you with this. Turn to Romans 12. This is something I found the other day. I mean, it's been a while. And ever since I found it, I put this little, some of your Bibles have some of those, little ribbon. It stayed right there so I could turn to it and remind myself. All right? There you go. Remind, right? I'm reminding myself. All right. Romans 12, starting in verse 1. Because I wonder, how does this happen? What is this whole process of walking in the Spirit? How does it happen? Yeah, I know I need to do something. I need to focus on God. But what's happening here? Let's turn to Romans 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Who's doing the transformation? That's very important here. Who's doing the transformation? God. Yeah, we're doing something, but it ain't out of our works that we're being transformed. Right? It's what God is doing in our heart. It says, yeah, we got to get ourselves there. We got to step out. We got to focus. We got to take off the old self and put on the new. But what happens? God transforms you into what? A new person. By what? Changing the way you think. Changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. There it is. Mark it. All right? It's God that's transforming. It's the Spirit that's taking over your life. Yes, you got to do something. Yes, we got to remember. Yes, we got to remind ourselves. Yes, we got to let ourselves think on the things of this, of God and heaven and Christ and the gospel and the Spirit, things that are going to elevate us to the Lord and not on the things of this world that want to derail you each and every time, whatever that might be. Okay? But when we do that, God is faithful and just to transform our lives into a new person, changing the way we think. Changing, when you get your thinking right, you get your acting right, right? You bet. That's just what I want to share with you this morning about. Don't be fooled. But your new walk, when you say yes to Jesus, is to follow the Spirit. And the Spirit will be faithful to guide you closer and closer to God. We're going to close in the song this morning. And I'll tell you what, if there's any of you that want to talk a little bit more about this or anything, you want to talk, you want to pray, that's what we're here to do. If the Lord's convicted your heart, that's another reason I sing, is because those songs convict me. You think every time I sing I'm in the spot where that song's telling me? No, I'm not. It convicts me of where I should be. It reminds me of something that I should be reminded of, right? So I want you to listen to the words of song. I want you to take the time to just sing it, and maybe you just need to be quiet and listen to the Spirit. If he's pricking your heart in any way, then come forward. You can see me after. We'll talk, we'll pray, whatever your needs might be. But it's important that you take a hold of those needs when they're there, because the Spirit put it there for the right time. Okay? So let's turn in your song books. Brother Brad, will you close us in a prayer when we get done with this song? 295, Revive Us Again. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, find the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. Make soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thunder, glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thunder, glory. Revive us again. Amen.
Father, thank you for the reminder this morning that this walk is not something we can do in our own strength, but it's wholly by your Holy Spirit. Father, forgive us when we try to do it in our own strength. Lord, we are grateful for the truth we see in your word, that you have done everything. When you died on the cross, and all we need to do is believe, put our trust in you, and follow what you say. So go with us this week, Lord, as we try to walk this out. Remind us by your Spirit every day that it's only in your strength, not our own. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody have a wonderful day. And if I don't see you, have a good Thanksgiving.